Hi, everyone, and welcome to another installment of the DeviantArt podcast. My name is Justin Mallett. I'm the Chief Creative Officer of DeviantArt, and today I'm joined by an old friend, Mr. Boss Logic, Code Abdo. How are you, mate?
How you doing, guys? As I said, tired, but still happy I'm here.
I'm happy you're here, too. For everyone watching, stay tuned to find out how you can have a chance to win a Wacom One tablet by captioning Boss's work on DeviantArt. So there's a link in our bio that you can click to join in, see the piece that he submitted, and the best caption is going to win a Wacom One tablet.
Awesome.
Mate, I just wanted to also say thank you very much. We did have an appearance fee for Boss to come on here, and he really graciously donated that to charity. That was a really classy move, mate. Thank you very much for doing that.
I appreciate you guys. You guys did the same as well.
So if you do tune in late on this, you will be able to watch the whole thing live on Instagram TV later on. So we will be taking questions. Please feel free to post them in the chat and we will be able to answer them a little later on. But to get started, mate, I thought that we might take it back to the beginning of your career. Everyone knows who you are.
Yep.
Boss, one of the world's most famous digital artists from Melbourne, Australia, where I am from as well. I'm sitting here in sunny LA right now. But tell us about the beginning, mate. Tell us about the early days. How did you get started?
So basically, it's actually a funny story. My best friend back then was actually a big fan of yours and your 3D renderings. And yeah, so he got me into like DeviantArt, and he introduced Photoshop to me. So ever since then, I just started creating like, you know, those crappy nightclub flyers and all that sort of stuff.
Nightclub flyers. Yeah.
It was like, it wasn't that big on DeviantArt, but it was pretty big on MySpace. And then I got some clients and then I got some traction. And you know how you get addicted to the feeling of people liking your work. Like back then, that was a big thing. And so I started doing stuff for on DeviantArt and stuff blew up there as well. Then I got into the gaming community. And that's why I dabble with a whole bunch of fan art. He's gone.
Sorry about that. How are your ears?
Yeah, so basically, that's why I dabble with a whole bunch of stuff now.
I didn't know you had a mate who was into that early stuff I was doing and Deathcore was doing. I didn't know that's how it started.
Yeah, the one I recall the most is back in the days you made that tiger wallpaper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was our wallpapers back then.
That was 2007, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see in the chat people asking, I am Justin up top, this is Boss down below. So that's the order of things. I am Justin from DeviantArt, this is Code for Boss. You missed the 3D abstract era then. You sort of came in when it was Photoshop time, like photo manipulation time, right?
Yeah. Photo manipulation when it was all the... It's still the craze right now, but when it was all the craze... During that era, I think it was like 2009, 2010.
Sure.
Yeah.
You've kind of given it a new renaissance, because that was sort of like the height of digital art for a period there. And what you're doing with it now, where you've taken the skills that you developed and you just have this amazingly quick turnaround on the pieces that you're making.
Well, I kind of adapted it like, you know, when something pops up like a news flash and breaking news. So I do what I do to match the breaking news, and that's why I started making the trend. So as soon as like breaking news happens, I have something ready for it.
Right.
And that caught on, and companies sort of like that sort of thing, and they wanted to adapt it into their like ads they do.
I think it's become an interesting part of marketing strategies and what have you around the world to like find collaborations with artists. And I think that's where you had this amazing success, was in doing what you just said, creating this like live news feed of like stuff that was going on in the comic world, in the art world, in the sports world as well, and being able to provide live artistic commentary on it is where I think you provide this incredible value to an audience.
Yeah, and that's the thing, I do it for the audience, and the only reason I'm still dabbling with that sort of thing is because of the audience, and it's still going to this day.
let's talk about that a little bit then, because like I know some artists feel like you need to always be creating for yourself, but it seems you're very much bearing your audience and their tastes and their needs in mind when you're making. Do you find, like, how do you find that impacts your
creativity? The thing is that what you said is important, like creating for yourself, and I do that with my personal pieces. But when I cater to the audience, it's for their entertainment value. You come on the internet, like there's always negative stuff. You give them something to enjoy, and that's what I like doing, giving them something to enjoy.
Mate, I think it's important. I think it's really valid to, like, when you have any kind of a platform, to consider the audience and why they're there and why they are showing you this kind of support. I think it's valid to consider that.
I mean, if you can make someone's day, like, a little bit brighter, it's a good thing, I guess.
Well, you know, we've jumped ahead a little bit, but I think that that's okay, because, like, what I wanted to ask you is what it's like day-to-day having a platform like yours. You know, you're at nearly 2 million followers. You're probably 2 million combined across all platforms now.
Yeah.
And that's an incredible amount of people. Like, you think back to the early days of DeviantArt, if you had 1,000 watchers, that felt like reach.
Yeah. But the thing is with DeviantArt, it's like, even if when you have a lot of people on DeviantArt, it's like, it still feels like you see the appreciation and all that, but now when you got a lot of likes here, you got kind of a responsibility. You got to be careful what you put out. You got to be careful. Like, you have to think about the whole broad audience, how you're going to make them feel.
Yeah.
And that's why I kind of try to shy away from anything like political or anything. I just try to keep it fun and light.
Yeah, I think that that's valid. I mean, if that's a conscious decision that you're making, I think that that's totally valid.
Yeah.
For everyone just joining, I want to remind you that we do have a Wacom 1 tablet up for grabs. You can win it by captioning Boss's piece. We just uploaded it to the DeviantArt team account. The link is in the DeviantArt bio, deviantart.com/team. One of his pieces of art is up there. The best caption.
It's also in my bio as well. So if you
legend. There's no excuse for not finding this. Go leave a caption on the piece. Wacom 1 tablet up for grabs. So we do have a couple of questions coming in already. You up for that?
Go ahead.
All right, let's do it. All right, so Evelyn Grace asks, do you have any suggestions on turning your passion into your job, like small things you did just to get started?
Here's the thing. If you want to turn it into your job, you have to do it consistently in the objective that you don't want it. This guy keeps dropping you.
It's shit, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm swearing. What, you can't swear?
Everyone's an adult. Anyway, back to the question. Yeah, you have to do it as in let the passion drive you to do the actual art. And you get good at it and the money will eventually come. If you're doing it straight for the money and you get discouraged after a year of no jobs, you're going to lose the passion for the art and the job. So your main objective is to be better at what you do. Get that.
The best advice you can give, man. I think that if people are starting off and they're just pursuing it immediately being incredibly financially rewarding, they're never going to develop the skills and the artistry necessary to get to the point that their work is worth the money in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. Okay, so Ala the Watcher asks, how does one get on the trend? How do you become relevant? This is an interesting one.
Relevant, just like, I don't really like Twitter, but go on Twitter. Like, the relevant stuff trends. And if you have, like, you can spark an idea straight away of something that you know is going to be viral that day or next day, that's how you do it. Or if you see, like sports, NBA came back, they mixed it with Disney, you could have mixed something with Disney and NBA that would have caught on.
Sure.
Just stuff like that, like brainstorm a little.
Well, I think that something that you've been really fortunate is the wrong word, but I mean, you've had the opportunity, I think, to blend a lot of your passions with your work. Like, tell me about the first job you had, or the first opportunity you had that took something you were really passionate about and brought it into your workspace.
The first one I was proud of was I did a couple commissions for Capcom. Back in the days when Street Fighter X Capcom came out, I did their wallpapers. It didn't really pay much, but I'm a huge fan of Street Fighter and I got to do the official stuff. So that made me like want that more. So that's why I keep pursuing other avenues like movies and music.
It's a, touch that stuff. Like when you really care about it and then all of a sudden you're working on it. Like I remember I did my job for the NBA and I was like, I can't believe I'm emailing someone at NBA.com about making a piece of art for Bath. That's incredible, right?
It's crazy. It's like the actual one of the highlights in my life was doing something for The Rock, which is your case. Like you're making fan art one day, then The Rock follows you and then DMs you saying that I want to commission you for a piece. And it's like, you're talking to The Rock and like, you are a fan of his in the wrestling days.
You're saying it, you are. The rest of us aren't. The rest of us aren't DMing with The Rock while he's asking us to make art. So it's not you're doing it. No, you're doing it.
Yeah, I guess. But from there, I put all my effort into that piece, and it got such a good response from the higher ups and the fans that I'll hopefully be doing. I can't say much now, but I'll hopefully be doing some official stuff later on.
Some secrecy stuff, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I just saw a comment. Can you smell what The Rock is commissioning?
Everyone knows what he's commissioning.
So, all right, tell me about, so Capcom was a good example. Tell me about another one of those early pieces that you did where you're like, wow, like, this could really be a career for me.
Let's see. I guess I also did stuff back in the MLG days, for Halo pieces. Okay. So back in the Halo MLG forums, they got me and another guy named Zola. So we did a whole bunch of stuff together. So that was another one that blew up as well.
Nice. So that was one where you were like, wow, this could really be a big full-time thing for me.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. The story is I never got that feeling of full-time. Like, really? This can be full-time. So basically I went from job to job to job. And the last...
Got that potential. Yeah. I like that it's happening now. Now it's just amusing. Yeah. I'll try and find a way to pin it. Sorry, Matt.
Not
our production guy.
Yeah. So basically, I never thought about it that way. After I did all these jobs and they never worked out, I just put it all on the line. I just did art for 10 years straight. You're glitching out. Can you guys hear it? Can they hear you?
I have no idea. Let me check the
comments. Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay, great. What I was asking is, you spent 10 years making art. I get it. I did the same thing. But like, what gave you the confidence to make that decision that you should make that investment, that it was going to pay out?
I didn't know it was going to pay out. It's like it was like end games. Like I had no passion for anything else, and I did just that. And there was a lot of times where I thought it was not going to work out. And my mother would give me money to buy like a DSLR camera to get textures and all that sort of stuff. And I kept going, and there was like a whole bunch of down days. It's not till I did like fan art for Green Arrow and I started posting on Twitter and that stuff went viral, and then fans demand more than flash work and all that sort of stuff, and it kind of like barrel rolled from there.
So fan art was the big turning point.
Yeah, so I'm not a huge fan of Green Arrow, but that's Green Arrow is what got me here.
I like my first fan art piece was of Master Chief. I like Halo. I've played a bit of Halo, but it's not my passion. It's just something I thought would be interesting to make up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not here. We've got a question come in from a fan. Okay, it's good. It's relevant to what we were just talking. So SK Off The Record asks, what was the hardest thing you've ever had to do to pursue your passion?
Hardest thing. Well, as I told you, that friend that I started off with, that was my best friend, but he did a certain thing that I don't want to mention and stuff, but we had to split our ways. And for me to get better at what I did and pursue my career, I had to shy away from him. And yeah, so it was a loss of a friend at that time.
I'm spamming it. Yeah, fair. So that was the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Okay, fair.
And basically sacrificing everything else. But
okay, forgive my pronunciation, but Prabhanjan Balaje asks, how do I know that I've done enough practice? I've got some opinions on that one myself.
There's never enough practice.
There's no such thing as enough practice.
Yeah. Like people say 10,000 hours, like that's enough to master a craft, but the craft is always changing, so the 10,000 hours is always resetting.
I reckon you would have done your 10,000 hours same as me probably three times over by now.
Yeah.
Right?
When you're happy with your work and you're like, hey, I want to stop training, I want to stop practicing, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Then you can just, like, in my opinion, you can hang up the gloves because art is all about learning. It's all about keep going.
Exactly. Yeah. No one, LeBron, like, when has he done enough practice? You got to keep going. Because you've got to stay sharp, but you've got to stay ahead as well. If you get stuck on this one thing, you get stagnant. It'll get boring and you'll lose that passion.
Yeah, that's why you see a lot of artists, they dabble with style. Even Arjun, like, he has his one main style, but then you see him play around with charcoal and you see him switch it up. So,
yeah. Have you ever thought about using traditional or you're just digital for life?
I actually draw a lot, like, offline, but it's like, I wanted to get to a level to showcase it where my level of digital is good, but my drawing is as good. So that's when I'll start sharing it. Like, I share it every now and then, but, you know.
Well, I mean, I can see in your digital work, you do a lot of, like, painting in that work. It's not just work. There's a lot of drawn and painted material in there.
Yeah. Well, a lot of my work is just like you Frankenstein a posture or body, then I blend it all together with painting.
Yeah. That's one of your real artistic talents, in my opinion, is your ability to get that blend going with the paint and get it to, like, photorealistic quickly.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's tough. That's hard to do. That's a real skill that you have, and it ties back to that relevance and that newness that we were discussing earlier. That's so vital to your work.
Yeah. Then I end it with like glow and smoke, which. Everyone. Like a signature now.
Yeah, is it even art if it doesn't have glow and smoke on it? I don't think that, so.
Well, it's not my art if it doesn't.
My art, man. Cool. All right, guys, please feel free to throw some questions into the chat. We are happy to be answering them. And once again, please remember, we are giving away a Wacom 1 tablet. You just got to caption one of Boss's pieces on DeviantArt. Check the link in our bio to join. So, all right. I've been looking forward to asking you this one. This is... And sorry, I can see in the chat again. I am Justin Mallow. I'm the Chief Creative Officer of DeviantArt. I am on top. This is Code, aka Boss Logic, down below. So I'm up top, Boss is below. What was the thing? I mean, look, the Ruck DMing you is probably a good example, but now you're going to have to think of another one. What is an example of an opportunity or a thing that happened where you were like, wow, this has really gone off the rails? Like, this isn't just me making a living and doing some fun stuff. This is crazy.
That will be the trip to LA last year. We were invited to the Russo Brothers studio. So yeah. I was sitting with Joe Russo in his office, and he was telling me when he found out about my work and commending me about my posters and all that sort of stuff. Then. From then, he made the call to Disney to get me officially on the Endgame posters.
Wow.
So that's when, yeah. So when one of your favorite directors is calling up Disney so I can get an official job, that's when shit gets crazy.
That is most definitely crazy. But come on, to take it back a little bit on that, because that was only a year ago. I'm sure that there was an instance maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago where it's like, the Ruck DMing something along those lines where you're like, wait a second.
There's a whole heap of instances. Ryan Reynolds also reached out to me so I can do some side promo works, like not official stuff, but stuff to get, you know, put in people's heads. So there was that sort of stuff. And there's also the Jimmy Fallon mishap, the one where they butchered my name like 100 times. That was
that one. Say it again.
they butchered my name like 1,500 times.
Can you say? How did he pronounce it?
Bastlagic or Bastlagic, Nikolai. I made another account which has like 50,000 followers now just for random stuff.
How are you meant to pronounce your last name?
My last official last name is Abdo. That's my official last name. The thing they were stuffing up was Bastlagic. They didn't know how to pronounce. Like, he knew how to pronounce it, but he converted it as in, like, I'm a Russian spy, so Bastlagic, Nikolai.
I've always known you as Code Abdo, right?
And
I guess his last name was actually Bastlagic, and I didn't.
No, it wasn't.
Oh!
Yeah. So the thing they were messing up was actual Bastlagic.
Yeah. That's so ridiculous.
The worst thing is I'm getting professional emails from big companies addressing me as Nikolai. Which makes no sense.
Where is that coming from?
Because he said Nikolai Bastlagic on the show.
Jimmy Fallon. You should spend less time laughing, more time researching. That's almost swore, but didn't. Be proud, proud of me. All right. What's like, okay, I don't even know how you're going to answer this, like considering what you've already done, but like what would you love to do? Like, what is an opportunity? Like, you did the Endgame poster. I don't know how you're going to top that one, but within this particular realm, what would you like to do?
I would love, like, in this field, like, producing promo-wise, I would like to work on some high-profile DC stuff or the high-profile, you know, Facebook stuff. But my actual Endgame, for me personally, would create my own thing. Like, I already have drawn up a concept that I want to do, like a movie pitch. So I want to build that with a team and then pitch it off. That's my end game.
That's a hell of an end game. I like that. Any spoilers on what might be in it?
No. Not yet. Because me explaining it, whenever I explain anything, I ruin it. So I'll explain it through visuals. That will make it.
All right. Fair enough. You feel like answering a couple of questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, cool. All right, Ruby NSX asks, what is the first tool you use to edit? I hate the word edit.
It's always been Photoshop. I stay consistent to one software.
I think that's a good call. All right, Genazine asks, what's the scariest thing about opening a fresh, clean, new canvas?
The fresh, clean, new canvas.
Just there.
Yeah. It's like an abyss. It's like, as soon as you draw one thing on it, it's going to be scary. But the first 10 minutes of drawing on a canvas is like the scariest thing.
Yeah.
It still starts building all together. That's when it becomes less scary.
Yeah, that never really.
I'm not going to lie and say the canvas doesn't scare me. It always scares me. Yeah. I think there's a name for it as well.
Yeah, there should be.
Yeah.
I find that, like, when you start with photos, like, when you're doing photo manipulation, that makes it easier. Because you've at least got, okay, I'm going from here.
Well, even in drawing, if you know what you're going to draw, that makes it easier. If you don't know what you're going to draw, if you just have the canvas in front of you, that is, like, your anxiety goes up when that happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. So I've got a question from Humble Hills, which is, what about your hometown Melbourne inspires you most?
I don't want to be harsh on Melbourne, but Melbourne, you should know, it doesn't really inspire. You have to go out of Melbourne to get inspired.
Also,
huh?
I do not agree with you at all. Melbourne is an amazing place.
No, I'm not saying it's not amazing. I'm saying it doesn't, for me personally, it doesn't inspire what I do. I like kind of like nature stuff, so I have to go outside of Melbourne to see it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And I suppose to your kind of work, that like, especially with the fan art sort of stuff, like, Australia is not like a centre for that kind of stuff in the way that, say, LA is.
It's starting to catch on in Australia, but it's like really slow.
I mean, I think the appreciation is certainly there. The culture exists in Australia and in Melbourne, but I mean, like, You drive down like a street in LA or in New York, and you're like, oh wow, scene from whatever was set here.
Yeah.
That doesn't
or you happen. actually, or you actually see said character.
Right. Yeah. Well, actually, we saw Christian Bale yesterday walking his dog. He lives down the street from me.
See? That's
right. That doesn't happen in Melbourne quite as much. But I always found Melbourne super inspirational just because, like, I love the architecture of the buildings. I love the energy. I love the city, like Melbourne CBD.
No, don't get me wrong. I love living here. I don't want to live anywhere else.
Cool. So, hang on, we have another question from Allah the Watcher. Oh, second question. An A-plus question asker. I like this. How do you keep yourself moving on or going on when you were not getting recognized? So I guess when your work wasn't being appreciated, not when you walking down the street were.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's the mental game of it all. If you're not, like, I've seen a lot of artists that are good and they keep going and they legit stop art because they don't get enough likes or enough comments and enough traction. And it creates this, like, it creates this anxiety with them that, hey, if no one's looking at my work, no one's commenting, that means I'm not good.
Right.
It's not the case.
No.
Just keep going at it. And even producers and studios, they look at smaller artists and they find their work and it's like, hey, I'm going to reach out to this guy, give him a chance. And that's what it's all about. Just keep going. The right eyes will end up seeing your work.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, some more questions coming in. Joseph A. asks, when or are you going to start doing more tutorials on your channel?
Here's the thing. People want tutorials, and the things that they want me to teach are already online. So I kind of don't want to just replicate tutorials that are already there.
Right.
So I'm not 100% sure what I'm doing with my channel yet, but I'm still brainstorming this year, and we have like a whole bunch of time this year to think about something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I want to do something nice with my channel. Maybe teach you in a way, not tutorial wise, but good advice wise, I think would actually help more.
I think there's a case to be made that even though the skills are available from other people, that, like, you know, you teach, like, there's like the imparting of the skill in a factual way, get off a piece of paper, but then there's having a teacher. And you, I think you would have a really nice way about you in terms of teaching people and walking them through.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I did notice with YouTube tutorials, though, is they extend the learning process and the skill of that technique, like, throughout. Instead of teaching you in, like, 2 minutes, they teach you in, like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was to do something, I would teach you the fast way, which, because fast is better for even in business, fast is better.
Yeah, I mean, the most efficient way you can do something
is
to do it. I've struggled with this a little bit myself. Like, is there a responsibility as, you know, an artist of any kind of renown to support the community and educate them? And I feel like the answer is yes, a little bit. But at the same time, like, a lot of this stuff, especially the signature stuff that I made, I worked really hard to develop that. And that's makes me unique. And sharing, like, there's a point where sharing it is empowering and a point where it is sharing, taking, you know, food off the table. And it's an interesting line to try to walk.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If you happen to teach them or teach someone anything, the responsibility is yours. And if you want to do it or not, that's entirely up to you. But if you do end up teaching, the person that learns it should acknowledge the person he learned it from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think there's a responsibility as a student as well to understand you're learning a skill, but it's up to you. Like, you need to take it and make it your own. You add it to your toolbox and blend it with your own knowledge and taste to create something new, not just replicate what you've seen before.
Yeah, and I see that a lot, replication. It's like your stuff doesn't – if you want your stuff to shine out from the crowd, you can't do the same as everyone else.
Exactly.
Because you're just going to be replicating. Like, if you see my work go out there – everyone says, if someone does it, it's like, did Boss Logic do that? Or did Boss Logic do that? I get tagged like hundreds of times a day on other people's works because it's all the same concept, it's all the same style. And you don't want that as an artist. You want to be divided from everything else.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's true. Sorry to cut you off.
No, it's all good.
Okay, moving on. Knizzle asks, what was your most challenging piece to work on?
I would say it was The Last Shawarma, because it was so many elements. I think it was like at least 400 to 500 layers.
Wow.
So that one was the hardest one, especially because the computer lags and you're like there waiting for it to move. Yeah, that was probably the hardest piece.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, anytime you're maxing out the computer, you're like, okay, I've taken this one along.
Yeah. It was like, ended up being like 6 gigabyte file or something.
Not bad, not bad. Yeah. I don't want to get into PSB measuring on you, but I've got some up there with you.
Yeah, you probably do high, like, poly works and all that sort of stuff.
Okay, so speaking, I'm sure we have some tech enthusiasts on the video. What is your setup? What do you use?
I just use a PC right now. I didn't even know which PC I'm using. Yeah, I use like just a standard. I'm trying to figure out which computer I'm using. 1 second.
Get a glimpse into the depths of the studio.
I got to go to settings to find out what I actually use on this computer. This is not my main one, that's why.
Right, gotcha. Don't worry about it. That's okay. We'll come back another.
I'll post the actual stats of this one when I what's called.
I think all the time about that, like about what my rig is and what I work on. Like I work on a 2013 iMac. Like I think people get too hung up on how new and how fast the technology is, not realizing.
Well, you basically need the standard. Like every computer that comes out right now runs what you need, unless right. You're using high performance 3D rendering and stuff.
Yeah, I had to.
All of them have it.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm trying. You cut out. You cut out.
Okay, easy.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the studio. I mean, I guess you got to a certain place with your work where you're like, you know what, I need to buff my environment a little bit. Like, tell us about what you did in there and why it was important.
Basically, where you work is you want to create the environment of, like, if you look around, you're like, you get a little stress relief. From your surroundings. So I kind of like, if you look around, you can see Iron Man helmets. And I got a whole bunch of figurines all around the room. And that's just to just step back and be in my own element. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to do. Like, I want it to not look like a workspace, like actual work, like when you go out and work and stuff.
You don't want to look
like. Yeah.
Were there any, like, extravagant or weird purchases where you're like, I just got to have this for the stew?
I think the 4 Iron Man helmets that I have around the studio.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, that makes sense. I'm going to do another reminder about the contest. We are giving away a Wacom 1 tablet. All you got to do is caption one of Boss Logic's pieces on DeviantArt. The link is in the DeviantArt bio and in Boss's bio. If you check that piece out, leave a caption. You could win an awesome Wacom 1 tablet. Couple more questions? All right, let's do it. Ayman Beluafi asks, can you learn concept art even if you can't draw in real life? Or is the talent necessary?
The practice would teach you to learn. That's the whole process. You learning concept art would teach you how to draw.
There you go.
And it's never too late to draw. A lot of people tell me, I don't have skill. I don't have talent. The thing is, a lot of people don't have, like, they're not born with talent, but skill turns into talent when you train, when you practice.
I'm not a big believer in talent, to tell you the truth. I think the best quote I ever heard about it is, talent is an interest pursued. And that really resonated with me.
I think what talent is like, it's exactly what you said, but I think talent is, some people, it's easier to pick up something than others.
Dude, I totally agree. But no one is just born being able to do stuff. You still need to have that desire to do that work.
Yeah.
Steel Isles asked, is talent overrated? And I think that's what we're talking about. I mean, I've read the quote 100 times, hard work trumps talent when talent doesn't work, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
You can have that natural aptitude, but if you're not willing to like back it up with a work ethic, it's for nothing. Yeah.
Just to these people, like, just understand that even if you're not talented at drawing and stuff, a lot of people, even in the industry, are paid highly, even more than concept artists, for ideas. Mm-hmm. Ideas are key. So if you can think of an excellent idea, you could be being paid more than an actual concept artist.
I was blown away when I got into the industry and found out that there were creative directors who couldn't create.
Yeah, that's basically the whole industry. Like,
really, these people are being paid just to have ideas they can't even make? And that's it.
So that's why I always tell artists, when you're creating and you're learning how to draw and all that sort of stuff, always write down your ideas. Be creative. Creativity is peak. It's like the most important, for me, it's the most important thing. It helps you with problem solving and it helps you think of ideas on the flash. So creativity.
Yeah. Okay, the happy little bird asks, have you ever felt doing art professionally killed the fun in doing it?
Well, even you've had it. When you're working with a client and they make you do 200 revisions, it makes you, like, hate your life at that moment in that job. But it never takes away from me liking art in general.
Right.
Because art in general is not the client work and the deadline you're doing. Art is beyond that.
Yeah, the project, a difficult project is of a moment. Art is the pursuit, you know? I get that. The Cosmic Being asks, do you conceptualize the artwork on paper before bringing it to your digital platform, or do you just start on it straight away in Photoshop?
For the stuff you see me post on Twitter and Instagram, that ones that take me like 30 minutes to an hour, that stuff I do straight away. But when I'm doing a big client work or doing a personal piece, I always blueprint. Blueprint is when I do like a rough sketch or just to mash it, see what it looks like before I actually put it and render it in Photoshop. So, yeah, I like to blueprint my actual works that I want to see a good outcome of.
Yeah. I'm curious for you, like, I think that every artist has a unique thing that they're kind of in pursuit of in their creative career, where there's an outcome or a specific aspect of creativity that drives them to keep going and make it their life. Is there something that is like that for you? Is it just the intersection of, like, pop culture and art?
There's that, but the thing that actually keeps me going is there's two reasons. The biggest reason is my father was an artist. And he drew till he was like 45, almost 50. But he has stage 1 Parkinson's now, and he can't really draw anymore. And it broke my heart, like, seeing him in that situation. So what I do now, the art is like, even though he didn't want me to pursue it because he didn't make it, because he wants me to get money and, you know, start a family and all that stuff, all the Arab parents thing. But yeah, I do my art to continue on what he did. So that's what keeps me going.
That's a lot. That's interesting.
Yeah. And there was also another one with digital art. I don't know if you know the artist, Fatto.
Of course.
Mike. So back in the DeviantArt days, when I was 3 years in, I wanted to quit art because, you know, I reached out to a few artists. Those artists were like, I don't want to name them, but they were kind of like assholes. And they wouldn't help, they wouldn't give advice, they wouldn't anything. Mike actually talked to me for a while through email, kept telling me what to use, how to fix things and all that stuff. And he helped me out for a few years. And just recently I've talked to him and I kept in touch with him. And he's like, I would love to collaborate with me. Like, he would love to collaborate with me. And it's like, it's gone full circle. Like, I've inspired him to come back into art. So that's kind of like a good moment in my life.
Yeah, Mike's a great guy.
He is.
Trying to come back. Pete Harrison was a big champion of yours in the early days too.
I still talk to Pete Harrison. Like, I haven't seen him do art in a while. Does he still do art? I don't know.
I think he just collects Nintendo games now. But like,
his collection is pretty dope though.
Yeah, he seems really dedicated to it. Okay, we've got a couple more questions. K Chaos, which I'm sure is probably just Chaos, but the person's name is Kate. Anyway, besides designing daily, are there other activities you do to stay creative?
I do a lot of creative writing. I also do lyric writing for between friends. Photography.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've recently just got back into it, and I've written 3 songs this year. So okay. on my YouTube.
We gotta stay with this for a minute. What music?
I dabble with everything. Rap music. There was a pop song as well. There's mainly rap music. Yeah.
Interesting. Are you making beats and whatnot? Or are you?
No. I do the writing. I do lyric writing.
You do the rapping?
I don't rap. I do the writing for the singer. Yeah, it's like ghostwriting. I'm the ghostwriter there.
Okay, interesting. Ghost logic.
Yeah, that's what people say.
It's interesting. I feel like a lot of artists have a musical aspect as well.
I love music. I cannot design. Like, I can't sit on Photoshop without music playing.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Music was my first passion. I mean, I played drums in my band. Now I can't do that out here, so I'm learning guitar really badly. But I feel like that's a really common thing.
Yeah, you look like a rock star, so.
Well, I grew the hair for the band, and I just started not to cut it. It's been interesting. I see the comments flicking up, and most people are just saying who we look like. I've been getting Robert Plant, and I think someone said...
I'm pretty sure I got Sam. Someone said Sam, 100%.
They're really going at you about Samuel Talley, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, someone called me Ugly Thor or something like that. Thanks for that.
Bro, I got called Sam by Jim Lee, so...
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'd take that. If I was a Game of Thrones character, they'd probably make me Daenerys or something.
You would fit in Game of Thrones.
What's that?
You would fit in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but I don't character. Think Game of Thrones character for me like there is for you, you know? What else have we got to cover? Is there anything else you wanted to talk about? Like, what haven't I asked you were hoping I would ask you?
I don't know. I think you covered everything, but if there's anything else you
want to... Someone just said Thor after he learns what a curling iron is. Natural. Go to hell. Who would bother? Also, Thor had... No, he had straight hair, didn't he?
You need to grow a beard.
I've had a beard before.
You got to post it now.
Hemsworth, it's weird. He and I are the exact same age from the exact same place. I saw him a few months ago. We're the same height, everything. He's just much better looking and more talented, I suppose.
Okay, now I know how tall Chris Hemsworth is because I've seen you in person.
Yeah. He might have been slightly taller. He might have been 6'3", but he wasn't much bigger. Anyone you'd like to meet? Like, is there anyone that maybe even you've been texting with online you'd like to meet in person?
Henry Cavill was, like, high on the list, and Keanu Reeves is high on the list, and Ryan Reynolds.
Just saying that last night, I would love to meet Keanu.
Yeah, they're my top three.
He's such an amazing guy. Gives all his money to charity and whatever.
He's, like, been amazing since... I can't even recall when. It's, like, he's been amazing his whole life.
Yeah, no, he really has. I had a question for you, and I lost it. Cool. Well, I think that we are coming towards the end. I just want to remind everyone really quickly that we still have that Wacom One tablet up for grabs as part of the caption contest. If you click on the link in DeviantArt's bio or in Boss's bio, you will see the piece. Just leave a caption and you will be entered to win a Wacom One tablet. Cool. Well, look, man, I think we can call it a day. That was really fun. Thank you for doing that.
No worries, man. So last question from me to you and your audience. How's everyone doing during quarantine? Is everyone good?
It's tough here in America, man.
Have you been staying in, or have you been...
Yeah. I've only left the house a handful of times since March. It's difficult. It's such a big country, and it's a country that has a lot of different takes on this whole thing and on how serious it is and on what needs to be done. I mean, please, if you're watching this, wear a mask, wash your hands, stay 6 feet away from people. It's not hard. It's just, you know, common decency.
What he said.
I know Melbourne just got locked down again.
Yeah. It's pretty bad here. It's getting worse. I think they're, like, considering stage 4 now because I think they found almost 300 people today, just cases today.
I mean, California alone had, I think, somewhere along 9,000 yesterday. It's not under control, that's for sure. But hopefully
it gets better and 2021 is like, I can go back out there.
Yeah, I'm excited for that too. But in the meantime, mate, please stay sane, stay healthy, stay creative, and same to all of you out there. If you did miss any part of this, it will be on IGTV later tonight. Please make sure to follow Boss on DeviantArt and here as well. I know that you're still uploading nice high-res work to DA.
Yeah.
High-resolution art.
Before I go, everyone tune into the DC fandom thing because a whole bunch of my stuff is getting released there. So there's that.
When's that?
I think it's in August.
In August?
Yeah. So it's like an online Comic-Con for just DC.
Cool.
Yeah.
Any spoilers what you have in it? Anything at all?
Black Adam stuff. That's all I can say.
Fair enough. Yeah. I think that's a pretty good tease anyway. Yeah. Mate, thank you again very much. That was a blast. I really appreciate you taking the time and staying up so late for us.
Appreciate you guys. What time is it? It's almost 3 a.m. Okay, I'm going to say goodnight to you guys.
Good bed, buddy. Thank you. All right, thank you.